This Bible teaching is from Gateway Church Geelong. May it empower and equip you for the work of God's kingdom. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au. Be blessed.
Hello, hello, hello. It's good to see everybody today. Who's just loving this spring weather? I loved it yesterday. Yesterday was just stunning. 22 degrees. Today it's just a beautiful day to be alive. It's a beautiful day to be alive. It's good to see so many smiling faces out there. Well, fathers, let me start by saying happy Father's Day. We want to honor you as fathers. Can I say to the men in the house today, I want to honor you men. Maybe you're not a father yet. Maybe you haven't had the opportunity to be a father. Let me tell you this, that God is in the business of honing us to become more like Jesus, to become men who, maybe if we don't have our own kids, we can still bless other people's kids. We can be examples to other people's kids. If there's one, and I'll touch on this a bit later, but there's one thing I can be sure of. What the world needs now is more men who can be examples of who Jesus is. That's what the world needs right now. It's what the world needs right now. And so why are we taking a moment right now to celebrate men and celebrate fathers on Father's Day? It's because we value families. We value families. Are you excited that you're part of a church who values families? Not only do we value families, we value strong families. I want to encourage you, this teaching today, this isn't just a message, this is a teaching on Father's Day. And if you're a man, if you're a father, if you're a young man, if you're above the age of 12 years old, I want to encourage you, listen in today, because what you're about to hear is going to propel you on a pathway that God has for you to grow up to be a strong man of God who loves the people in your world well. It starts now. You don't magically turn 18 and it's just like, it starts now through the hearing this teaching out of the Bible, amen. And so we will do everything within our power to strengthen families, to see families restored into the biblical image and identity that God has for families, amen. Who's on board with that? So men, today on Father's Day, I want to encourage you. I want to empower you. I want to inspire you towards everything that God has for you. The wonderful plans He has for you, the strong marriage He has for you, the wonderful relationships with children and family that He has for you. And when I say men, I mean if you're a teen, young adult, older man, be empowered today to dream of what your life can look like with God's plan. Let it stir in you. Let it stir in you. It's like, but I'm just 13. It starts now. It starts now. Come on. The first thing I want to do today is remind you about how God the Father feels about you and feels towards you. This is for everybody today. This is what it says in 1 John 3 verse 1. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. I want to encourage you right now. This is the first thing. God lavishes His great love on you. You're His children. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of past, regardless of the old things have passed away, the new things are here, amen. Right now, and God sees you as His children. If you're still in this place where you're wondering, what's my identity? What's my identity in Christ? Your identity is His child. I'll take that any day of the week. Anybody else? To be called a child of God, to be known as a child of God, that's who you are. That's who you are. Sounds like a song. Let's write a song. That's who you are. So why am I asserting this so strongly this morning? Because God's default This is God's default, not when he feels like it. This is his everyday default, is to lavish love on those he calls his children. That's his default. You wake up every day. His default is his thoughts towards you. His thoughts for you is, I love you. I'm pouring my love onto you. I love you so, so much. And see, I want to encourage you today, if you're a man, if you're a father, if you're a mentor, God has mandated you to do exactly the same thing to the people in your world. God has mandated you, fathers, men, to lavish love onto the people around you in the same way that God does it to you. Your family, your children, your church family. So, we just didn't do things like that in our family. Guess what? It's time to change. It's time for a shift. It's time to reflect the image of Jesus, the identity of Jesus. Oh, but it's really hard. All day long, I'm putting my hand up and saying, I understand how difficult at times that can be, the challenges around that. But and we'll get to this a little bit later on, but there is a call for you to take a journey, to follow the ways of Jesus, to become more like him. And it's not something that we do by wishing. We don't wish that we could be more like Jesus. It's with our words, it's with our actions, and it's with our deeds. And there's some things that we need to unlearn. We may need to sit down with a pastor. We may need to sit down with a counselor. Whoever it is that you need to sit down with, God has a perfect plan and a will and a path for you to be a strong, mighty man of God who knows how to lavish love onto the people around them. I say this again. Love is not lavish towards people with just thoughts. Every now and then, okay, a lot, Naomi says to me, do I look good? And I'm like, just with the clothes, you know, it's just like, it's got the blazer on this morning, looking wonderful. And in my head, I'm like, I'm sure I've said this. I'm sure I've said that, yes, you look great. She said, you haven't said a word. In my head, I've said it like multiple times. In my head, it's even come out of my mouth. But it hasn't. And I share that with us today to say, love is not lavish towards people. Say that 8 times quickly. With just thoughts. It's with words. It's not just with intentions, but it's with practices that reflect deep love. It's with kindness and joy that you are called to be a purveyor of peace and comfort. Purveyor, for those of you who didn't go to English in year, I did it to year 12, but I didn't really do it, if anyone else understands what I'm talking about. I was there. A purveyor means to be a provider or a trader or a retailer of peace and comfort and kindness and goodness, to be a vendor of love and kindness and joy and peace. To do that, first you need to be a stockist. You've got to be a stockist first. To distribute it, you need to have it on your shelves. Yeah, very good. If this is your first time in church today, this is the good news. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, here is the good news, that God loved the world so much that he sent his only beloved son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have. Definitely some different versions going on this morning. If you said everlasting life or eternal life, tick. Well done. See, you can't put God's love onto your own shelf. So where do I pick that up from? Do I get flyby points like for that? No. You can't just go down to the shop and pick it up. scan your card. There is one way to get that love onto your heart, and it's through Jesus Christ. So perhaps you're in this place today, you know, men, women, children. If you're a young person, if you're like 3 years old today, if you're like 88 years old today, maybe you've been thinking to yourself, I love the fact that God lavishes love towards us and counts us as children of God, but how am I meant to distribute that love? How am I meant to distribute it when I don't even feel like I'm stocking it in my own heart? I've got some more good news for you today. It's not the kind of love, it's not the kind of peace, it's not the kind of kindness that we can restock ourselves, but God wants to today restock your hearts with His love. He wants to restock your heart with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, for those of you who are following along Galatians 5. Why am I saying that today? Why am I saying love, but then mentioning all those things? If it's God's love, it has to contain those things. It's not needy. It's not narcissistic. It's full of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God's love is full of. Your restockist is God, your Father. How does He do it? He does it through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how He does it. And my encouragement for every single person today in the room, watching online now or at a later date, is this. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. I want to encourage you today, if today you find yourself with ill feeling towards what Father's Day represents. You know, my heart goes out to you today, first and foremost, if today represents ill feeling. Not just sympathy, not just goodwill. My heart at one point in time has known a similar pain to what you're experiencing. Not the same pain. I haven't been through what you've been through. I went through what I went through. But I understand the type of pain that you may well be feeling today. This is what I love today. I understand it, but I know someone who truly understands it today. God, your Father, Jesus, understands it. Understands the pain of what you've been through and had to go through. Women, wives, sons, daughters, men, fathers, today, God has a full measure of restoration and renewal for you today. I include everybody in the room today because the reality is days like today, it can touch all of us. It affects all of us. I believe that there will be a time as you come before God, there will be a time where today can represent a day of celebration and festivity. I understand it's a long jump from where you might be feeling right now to God's perfect plan for you. And I say this also, perhaps it's not possible for that to be a day of celebration and joy and festivities with your Father. But perhaps there's people who are part of your church family who you'll be able to orientate your celebration and festivity towards. Fathers, men in the church, so you just encourage them and lift them up because they're doing such a great job in their families as God sets you free and releases you in everything that you've had to travel through. You know, God's healing power makes it possible to celebrate men, to celebrate fathers who are on their way to becoming godly men. How do I know that? Because I've walked that journey myself. So this is my testimony today to you. I want to encourage you, if you are able today, there's men in our church, there's fathers in our church today. If you are able, can I encourage you to celebrate and to esteem those who are aiming to be great like Jesus as they're following his ways? encourage someone in your world today as they're choosing the ways that God has for them. You know, men who embrace discipline and correction, that's who God's called all of us to be, every single one of us. But men, I'm talking to you. When I say men, I'm talking about if you're 12, if you're 104, covering everybody in the space today. Those who embrace discipline and correction, that's who God has called us to be as men. Men who don't live with resentment, but rather they're learning to live with righteousness in their hearts and encouragement on their lips. It's who God's called us to be. I'm saying this today to inspire you, to empower you. That's who God has called you to be. It's who God's called you to be. Proverbs 3, 11 to 12 says this, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in." Men today, hear this. God disciplines those he loves in the same way a father disciplines a son that he delights in. Now, this may feel completely foreign to some of you. It's gone really quiet. This may feel really foreign. This may be an unknown phenomenon for you as an individual. Maybe you hear me say that and you're like, the discipline I got to my father didn't feel like the love of God was being lavished on me. You know, God delights in you and loves you so much, not just to correct what needs healing and restructure in your heart, but it's the thoughts in our mind, our behaviors, our actions. He wants to bring healing and restoration to the whole lot. My encouragement to you today, men, fathers, young men, embrace correction early. You want some teaching out of the Bible today? Embrace correction early. Do it as a young man. Don't wait until you become an older man. Learn to keep discipline close to your heart. Anybody love keeping discipline close to their heart? I'm sure there's some people here who do. Love keeping discipline close to your heart. When you keep discipline close to your heart, you feel closer to God, because you're not chasing your own will and own ways. Why do we want to do that? It's for our well-being. It's for not just our well-being, but it's for the well-being of our future kids, of our family, of our spouses, our loved ones. And I say this, if you're between the ages of 12 and 30 right now, I say this, listen up, dial in. Live today like you're getting ready to be the best dad in the world. Live today like you're getting ready to be the best dad in the world. Don't wait for kids to come along. What can you do now that begins to reflect God's heart? What can you do now that begins to unravel things that shouldn't be part of your life right now? Live today like, so I want to be the best dad in the world. You know, this word discipline, it gets a bad rap. It gets a real bad rap. Because of the way that discipline may have been exercised in our lives, that's why the word discipline gets a bad rap. Because of the mannerisms of the people who were enacting that discipline, because of their behavior, because of their angry behavior, it was under the guise of discipline. This hurts me more than it hurts you. I'm not sure about that. Because of the way it was outworked, discipline gets a bad rap. Discipline is meant to form us and shape us more into the image of Jesus than we were before. Let's remember that, parents. The discipline we give our children is meant to shape them and form them more into the image of Jesus, not scare the life out of them. We're called to literally form these young people into to be strong young men and women of God. That's what he's called us to do. See, the methods of discipline, it's perhaps better understood like this. The word disciple and discipline share a common origin in the Latin word "dicere," meaning to learn or to hear. That word disciple, it refers to someone who is a learner, a follower of a master or a teacher. Who's our master teacher? Jesus, amen. And so this practice of discipline in the original sense refers to instruction, training, relentless learning. Relentless learning to become more like the person that we are following. And this is a calling for each of us. It was given to us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And this is why I want to just push in teaching a little bit today for all of us, is that one of the key things that Jesus told us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and it says this, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." There is a responsibility on all of us to be taught, to hear the ways of Jesus, to hear the ways that God would prefer us to outwork them in. But there's also a responsibility not just to hear them, to be instructed by them, to hear them, to learn them, to do them, to action them. Is it hard to do that? Absolutely, it's difficult. But what could be more worthy than enacting the ways of Jesus in our life? And so today we come to this position that a disciple is a learner who undergoes discipline, correction, healing, restoration, instruction. And I say this, may we be devoted to learning healthy discipline. May we be devoted to learning healthy discipline. I don't know about you, but I went to school when principals still used the cane. Did anybody grow up in that time? People too afraid to put their hands up because it's like, you're going to ask me if I went to the principal's office, aren't you? I went to the principal's office more than once. And I think we need to be devoted to understanding healthy discipline. I say the word discipline, and those of us who went to a school that the principal had a rack of canes, it's like, which one will I choose today? If that's your understanding of discipline, it's time to allow God to do a healing and a restoration in your mind. If your understanding of discipline is someone standing over you yelling, it's time for God to do a healing of your heart and your mind. Because discipline is about learning, correction. It's about following the ways that Jesus has for us. Healthy discipline. And I say that both in receiving and giving. May we be devoted to learn how to give healthy discipline and how to receive healthy discipline as well. We're found learning the ways of Jesus, devoted to the ways of Jesus. Why am I pushing in on this a little bit harder today than we normally would? Men, fathers, young men, you are on your way to becoming men of God. And our society, our neighborhoods in Australia need nothing more than the antidote to the affliction that is on our society at the moment. There is an affliction. There is torment on our nation, in our suburbs, in our neighborhoods, where families are breaking apart at a rate that is unprecedented. I implore you, be devoted to learning the ways of Jesus. I implore you, take the correction, take the discipline, take the learning, take the encouragement whenever you can get it. Can you be part of the antidote that our society needs? See, the truth is that at the moment, our society has been tormented by heartbreak, families ripping apart. But if you know Jesus today, you've already received your first antidote. You see, Jesus is the antidote to the grip of sin. Why do I state it so just bluntly like that? Sin disintegrates families. We can say all these different things that happen for the disintegration of family, but it's sin. People outworking sin in their lives, and it disintegrates family. I want to encourage us that God sent Jesus as the intervention for all humanity. Jesus is the only cure from being separated from God. And we've already heard that we receive him through salvation, and that's how We come into a relationship with God through Christ. And secondly, the cure, that's Jesus, he calls us not just to be righteous in our hearts, but to act on our righteousness through our words, through our actions, through our deeds, to the point where the antidote is passed on to the people around us. Can I encourage you, your neighbors who don't know Jesus, their marriage is on the line. Their kids are getting into this, that, and every other crazy thing that's part of pop culture right now. The antidote is in your heart right now. The antidote for your children are off doing their own thing. Your children right now are off doing their own thing. The antidote is in you. Can you learn to lavish love on them in the same way that Christ has lavished love on you through God? Can we learn that together? Can we devote it? I get it. I'm walking journeys myself where life can be difficult and life can be challenging and raising kids is not easy. But can we push into God just a little bit harder? Can we say, God, activate the love in me, the same love that you've poured out onto me. Can you show me how I need to do that for my child? Don't listen to 8 other people around you. It's like, well, when my kids did that, I did this. And it could work or it may not, but can you just push into God and say, God, what does this situation need right now so I can have breakthrough in my family? How can I show love? How can I action it? How can I pour it out onto my children? How can I pour it out into my spouse? If you have a spouse that's away from Jesus right now, listen in right now. How can I pour out the love that you've put into me? How can I pour that out into my spouse? God, so that there can be an intervention for my spouse right now. See, men, fathers, you carry within you the power to change the entire destiny of families and the inhabitants of your neighborhoods and cities. So, Pastor, I'm just struggling to change myself right now. I get it. Can I encourage you that iron sharpens iron? If you are in struggle street right now and you're a man and you're doing life and it's hard and it's difficult, can I encourage you, it's time to get around some other men. Not just some other men, men who love Jesus. Iron sharpens iron. Get yourself around some men who just want everything that God has for them. Let them rub off on you and rub up against you so that you can be sharpened in the things of God. See, your intervention, your encounter was for you first, but it's also for the regeneration of family. Amen. I'm looking around the room right now. I'm seeing testimonies of families where a man or a woman found God and they stood up for who God was in their life and they poured love out onto their family. I look at Bill and Joanne today, a beautiful story of God's redemptive power on family. God's still doing a work within their family. Anyone else testify that that's what's happened in their life? Come on. Grant back there. Glennis. Ann. Waza. We'll hear Warren's testimony again soon. The redemptive power of love being poured out in a marriage has the power to bring marriages not just back together, but have them strong in Jesus. See, the dissolution of family, the destruction of family, it's a generational attack. And I'll say this today, listen to me clear. It's a Trojan horse of pain, self-doubt, mistrust, and deep bitterness for future marriages. But the good news is today that God wants to break those things off your generational family line. You are strong and powerful in God. There's a God intervention today for you, for your family, an encounter that arrests pain, that arrests hurt, that arrests bitterness, that arrests anger, an encounter that exchanges destruction for beauty and abundance. Anyone walking with that in their marriage at the moment? Come on, I'm putting my hand up. 4 people. God's done a good work in your marriage, amen. Is it perfect? We're still on our way. But God's done a good work and we're walking in beauty and abundance. There's been an exchange. God wants to do that for you if that's not the case today. It's an encounter that renews your heart, your soul, your mind. And I declare this over our church today, that families would be made whole, that the antidote would destroy the work of the enemy, that families would be strong, that families would grow stronger, that the words of divorce, breakdown, cheating, control, substance abuse, mean words, anger, abuse would not be part of your family line or vocabulary ever again. Can I encourage you, if you've uttered any of those words in your marriage, come before the Lord today, repent, and never utter them again. You want a strong marriage? You don't utter those things. Don't do the devil's work on his behalf. Amen. Strong marriage. Speak good things over your marriage. Speak love over your marriage. Speak kindness over your spouse. Let God do the work in them. See, we each have the power to bring real change into our families. We have the power to bring change into our own behaviors, but then we can empower and pass it on to the people around us as well. We're a generation of God's people. If this echoes with you this morning, let me know. We're a generation of God's people who say no to the past, no to the old ways, and yes to God's will. Anyone? Thanks, Fee. Anyone else would be like, I say no to the past, no to the old ways, and yes to God's perfect will. Yes to his principles. Yes to his practices. Yes to a relationship with him that makes my family flourish and grow. I love this passage. Just as I'm coming towards the end this morning, I love this passage of scripture. Luke 15, verse 20 says this. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. This passage of scripture, it's a story of a young man who chose his own way. Pride directed his heart and his actions. He decided that he knew best. Anyone been there before? Just me. Okay. He decided he knew best. And what I love about this is even in his loss, even in his bad decision-making, even in his pride, he comes to this place where he's like, I don't think I've got it figured out. And in his own mind, he's like, there's one place that I know that I can go, one man that I know that I can go to, and he won't turn me away. He won't turn me away. See, for all of us, the antidote to pride is humility. You know, this young man, he treated his father as a means to an end, a means to money, a means to party. I want to encourage you, young person, if your parents, your caregiver loves Jesus, they want the best for you. In fact, they don't want the best for you. They want God's best for you. It says this in Ephesians 6, starting at verse 1. This scripture has been misused terribly, and we're going to use it correctly today. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well for you and you may live long in the land. See, this for children. We're all children. We were all born from. But children, if you're under 18 today, hear this. This scripture encourages you to obey your parents, to honor your mum and dad. And this commandment has a promise for you that God's plan would go well for you and you live in God's blessing. The scripture promises that if you outwork God's scriptures, that you will receive promises. So even if your parents get it wrong, if you exercise honor, you will still get God's promises and God's abundance. You'll still inherit the promises if you outwork honor. Do parents always get it right? Did someone say yes? Someone said yes. We don't always get it right. But we love Jesus. And we're learning to be better. We're learning to be better. See, for all of us, for kids and for parents today, our best friend is honor and humility. Parents, if you love Jesus, if you love your kids, I say this bluntly today, let's learn to communicate better. When we get it right, let's love our children into God's will. When we get it wrong, let's be better at letting our kids know that we got it wrong. Transparency and honesty bring our children closer to us and closer to Jesus. The verse 4 of this passage of Scripture says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Maybe you grew up, maybe you had a father who poked and prodded at you, always trying to get a rise. Can I encourage you? That is not the heart of God. It's not how God wants to treat you. Can I encourage you not to pass that on to your kids? Don't pod, proke, trying to get anger, trying to get frustration out of them. That's not God's heart. That's antagonistic. It's not part of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. See, when we get it wrong and we don't talk about the fact that we got it wrong, we potentially provoke our kids to anger and frustration and annoyance. All it does is create separation. Separation from those who are meant to be closest to. I got news for today. God has a better way for each and every single one of us. You may be on your pathway already and activating. Awesome. Do it more. Go harder. Love your kids into the kingdom. Love your kids into the relationships that God is calling them to step into. But what does God want to show you? What is God calling you to learn from, to grow through, to receive healing in so that you can bring your young people up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Men, fathers, you have the power of God to change the outcomes for your family, but it starts with you. See, this young man in Luke 15:20, he'd figured out, "I've messed up. I have really, really, really messed up." Anyone been there before? Come to the end of yourself, like, "I have messed up. How do I back out of this one?" He had lived foolishly, but he had one person that he could turn to who he knew would be willing to still love him, not just love him, but eventually he restored him into the position of son. See, this is the power that we have for the people in our world, in our families, in our church. This is true for fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. But men, I charge you with this today. It starts with us. Don't wait for your wife. Don't wait for your wife. Don't wait for your kids or when my kids move towards me. Hold up. We're the adults. God's called us to step out and love them and to show them what family looks like. You have the power of the Spirit of God in you to break the past and to live it now. Just as we come towards the end today, I don't know if everybody in the room today knows Jesus. I don't know if you're watching online. I don't know if you know Jesus. But this picture of the young man who lived foolishly and went off and did his own thing, he knew that he had someone that he could come back to. It was his father. What this passage of Scripture is really showing us, that each and every single one of us, every human on planet Earth, when we come to the end of ourselves and we realize, I've done the wrong thing, I've lived foolishly, we can turn back to God our Father and He will love us and restore us as sons and daughters of God. And will be known as His children. So this is the power that Jesus has by going through the cross for each and every single one of us, to be known by God, forgiven of our sin, set free. just in the same way that this father was just waiting on the porch, just looking into the distance, hoping that one day his son would come. Figuratively, it's the same. God is, he's been waiting. He's like, I'm waiting for my sons and daughters to come home. He's not waiting there with a big stick. He's waiting with arms out wide. In the same way that this story tells us, he just wants to embrace you and lavish love on you. This is your moment to be restored, renewed, forgiven of sin. And I want to encourage you, just as the eyes are closed for a moment, just to give everyone some privacy for just a brief moment. If you don't know Jesus personally today, you've never made a decision to follow him, to make him Lord of your life, to be forgiven of your sin, this is your moment today. God's coming to you and saying, I want to know who is my son. I want to know who is my daughter. I want to forgive you. I want to embrace you. I want to love you. Maybe you've once made that decision, but you've been off doing your own thing. Maybe you thought you knew better, and now you've sort of come to this place. I need some help here. I need to come back to the Father. If that's you today, in a moment, I'm going to ask you just to pop your hand up. Then you can put it back down. And then we're going to pray a prayer. Prayer of making Jesus Lord of our lives. So on the count of three, if you need to respond to Jesus today and say, I need a relationship with God the Father. On the count of three, if that's you, put your hand up. One, two, three. Anyone today say, yeah, I want to follow. Yes, awesome. Anyone else today say, yeah, I need to get back into a relationship with God the Father. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I need to make great decisions to follow Jesus. Anyone else today? I've already had two people put their hand up. Anyone else say, yeah, it ends today. Line in the sand. I'm choosing to follow Jesus. Anyone else? Just with our eyes closed, we're going to pray a prayer. Prayer of salvation, making Jesus Lord of our lives. And the whole church is going to pray the prayer. But if you put your hand up, this is for you to pray. If you didn't put your hand up, but you really, really, really wanted to, don't worry about the hand today. God's just interested in your heart. And pray this prayer with us as well. Prayer of knowing Jesus, being forgiven of your sin. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin, and from this day on, I choose to follow you for all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer, heaven rejoices right now. And I think it's probably pertinent that we rejoice right now because some people put their hands up to receive Jesus this morning. Come on. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. You know, there's nothing greater than someone coming back into relationship with God. And I want to encourage you just with what you've heard today, church. You know, maybe some of the things touched on parts of your heart and it's like, oh, that's a bit tender. Maybe ask yourself, well, why is that a bit tender? And I'm going to be here after the service. And if you need prayer for anything, maybe God wants to start a journey for you to work through some things today. I would love to stand with you and pray with you and encourage you. If you put your hand up for salvation today, and you don't have a Bible, please grab one on the way out. If you're online, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. A whole lot of information about how to get in contact with us and what to do next with your faith walk as well. Don't you love being part of church? I know there were some funny bits this morning and there were some serious bits this morning, but this is what I do know. Each and every time we delve into this, we just etch a little bit closer to being who God has called us to be within our families and our church families. And we'll just keep pushing up against it, because we want to see all of these things broken, set free for strong families. Amen? Who believes that the church is called to be a strong family in God? Who believes that your family is called to be a strong family? 33.5 people. Who believes that their family is called to be strong? The reason I push on this, 2 seconds, by faith, we're called to speak these things into being. By faith, my family will be strong. You look at it right now in the natural, it's like, eesh, eesh, where's this going to land? By faith, we've got a strong family. By faith, our family communicates better. By faith, transparency is good between everyone. By faith, love is growing enough. Speak it out over your family. Live it out every day over your family. When you find yourself tripping up into old habits, pull yourself up, apologize to your family. Anyone ever apologized to family before? It is so good. It is so good to apologize to family. It just breaks off any change that may be trying to hold your family bound. Yeah, people are yelling and say, yeah, I've done that. Come on. God's a good God and he loves you. God's a good God and he loves your family. God's a good God and he's restoring your family. Amen? Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.